From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Jude, verse 24. Able to keep you from falling. In some sense, the path to heaven is very safe, but in other respects, there is no road so dangerous. It is beset with difficulties. One false step, and how easy it is to take that if grace be absent, and down we go. What a slippery path is that which some of us have to tread. How many times have we to exclaim with the psalmist, "My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." If we were strong, sure-footed mountaineers, this would not matter so much. But in ourselves, how weak we are. In the best roads, we soon falter. In the smoothest paths, we quickly stumble. These feeble knees of ours can scarcely support our tottering weight. A straw may throw us, and a pebble can wound us. We are mere children, tremblingly taking our first steps in the walk of faith. Our Heavenly Father holds us by the arms, or we should soon be down. Oh, if we are kept from falling, how must we bless the patient power which watches over us day by day? Think how prone we are to sin, how apt to choose danger, how strong our tendency to cast ourselves down. And these reflections will make us sing more sweetly than we've ever done. Glory be to Him who is able to keep us from falling. We have many foes who try to push us down. The road is rough and we are weak. But in addition to this, enemies lurk in ambush, who rush out when we least expect them, and labor to trip us up or to hurl us down the nearest precipice. Only an almighty arm can preserve us from these unseen foes who are seeking to destroy us. Such an arm is engaged for our defense. He is faithful that hath promised, and He is able to keep us from falling, so that with a deep sense of our utter weakness, we may cherish a firm belief in our perfect safety, and say with joyful confidence, "Against me earth and hell combine, but on my side is power divine. Jesus is all, and He is mine."
Safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine own would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee.
Blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding.
sorrows moon out. In times when temptation casts o'er me its power, in the tempest of life on its wide heaving sea, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. By the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. But often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O the rock of my soul, the rock of my soul.
Are you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he continues these studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns begins to deal with each of the Ten Commandments in separate messages. Today he commences an exposition of the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." First of all, it is necessary to understand why God gave such specific commandments. In his summary of the law, Christ said, "We are to love God." But in order to do so, we must know what God expects. Dr. Cairns will show the proper way of preaching the law, not as a way to be saved, but as the means to show sinners their need of Christ. Now to introduce the first commandment, here is Dr. Cairns.
Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." As I was considering the first commandment, and indeed the whole Ten Commandments this week, the question arose in my mind, and I think that it's a valid question to ask. What need is there of the Ten Commandments? We have seen from God's Word that there are two great commandments of the law on which hang all the law and the prophets. The Lord Jesus said, "The first and great commandment is, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." He said, "The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, if those are the first two great commandments on which everything else hangs, is it not enough to love God and love men? Why the Ten Commandments? Surely we have got to confess it is enough to love God and to love men. But love has something in it. Love has in it the spirit of doing good toward its object. Love has in it the tendency to do right. But there's the rub. What is right? It would be very easy for me to show you tonight that people very often do wrong under the motivation of what they profess as love. A case in point would be the image worship of the Church of Rome and of the Orthodox, as they call themselves, the Orthodox churches. In fact, so strong is their attachment to image worship, so strong is their belief that this is an expression of their love for God, that they refuse even to allow it to come under the consideration of the second commandment. From all that, the message is clear that love needs law to instruct the understanding. In one sense, we can say love is enough. But in another sense, we have got to confess love is not enough, because it requires the understanding to be instructed by the law. Let's take an everyday life example. Think of a child. That child may love his parents, and he may have a sincere desire to please those parents. Yet through lack of understanding, through lack of discernment, that child may do the very opposite of what is right, the very opposite of what is pleasing to his parents. So his parents, while rejoicing in his love, must give him a plain statement of their will. Now the same thing is true in our relation to God. The Ten Commandments are a very necessary revelation of the will of God to instruct our understanding and to direct the expression of our love for Him. They are all the more necessary when you consider that they are given not only to man, but to sinful man. to creatures with a natural bias toward evil, and with mind and will set in them toward sin. So the Ten Commandments are necessary, and they must be preached. But they must be preached in the right way. And I want to emphasize this as we start out looking at the Ten Commandments. They must be preached in the right way. There is a wrong way to preach them. And I think all too often that's the way that preachers choose. There is the wrong way of preaching the Ten Commandments. That was illustrated many years ago, indeed in the last century, in a little Scottish parish called Kilmany. The rustic congregation of that church were full of excitement at the thought of welcoming a new and brilliant young minister as their pastor. The few, if any, men in Europe could compare with this young man in the wonder of his oratory, in his skill in using the English language, and in the breadth of his attainments. His intellect was gigantic. His interest seemed to have no end, and it seemed to be just such a wonder that this little rural parish should welcome such an accomplished minister. So the people were certainly impressed. But it wasn't long before they became perplexed, because Sabbath after Sabbath, this minister would expound to them on the Ten Commandments and on related themes. And he would expatiate on great sins, some of which these people had never dreamed of, never mind committed, in their backwater in Kilmany. He expounded on sin, and his message was very plain. If you keep the commandments, you will live. This is the way of life, and this is the standard that you must seek to attain to if you're going to get to heaven. It took Thomas Chalmers 8 years, 8 years of berating that unfortunate congregation to learn to preach the law of God as it ought to be preached. Because it took him 8 years for himself to come to know Christ and understand the law in the whole scheme of salvation. It was only then that he could preach the law of God to convict sinners of their sin and lead them to Christ, to show them the perfect righteousness of God available to them in Christ, not by works but by His work. Them to use those self-same commandments to direct believers in the paths of faithful obedience to God out of love for Christ. Now that's the right way to preach the Ten Commandments. In other words, and this I hope will be obvious as we go through these Ten Commandments, the proper use of any one or of all of the Ten Commandments must lead us to faith in Jesus Christ. Matthew 23, verse 30 or 23 says, in the words of Christ to the scribes and Pharisees, "You have omitted the weightier matters of the law. You have left out the most important things of the law." And he sums them up in three words: judgment or justice, mercy, and faith. Now we will need to keep those three words in mind as we study the Ten Commandments. We will see right on the surface that they teach us our duty. The Ten Commandments are a blueprint for the duty of all men, and especially of Christian men and women. They command us to execute justice, even for the weak and for the oppressed. I don't want to get off on to a tangent tonight, but I think that it is a very serious delinquency in the Church of Christ that we have allowed apostates to come in and to lay hold of part of the revelation of God. We have allowed them to caricature it. We have allowed them to cut it off from all the rest of the gospel and present it as the whole message. And because they have done that, we have then proceeded to excise that from our message. I showed you when we were dealing with love for our neighbor, how that we allowed the liberals to present their social gospel, and fundamentalists and Bible believers then backed off from any social involvement of the church in the everyday affairs of men. I tried to point out then, and I repeat it now, the social gospel is a heresy because it replaces the gospel of grace with social action. But social involvement did not commence with the liberals. It started with the early church. It belongs to the very heart and essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again and again and again the Bible teaches us that the Church of Christ cannot sit back carelessly about the bodily needs of men and women. And so it is with this great theme of justice for the weak and for the oppressed. And I have to be honest that because of political considerations, and if I may digress even further, many of those political considerations had much good in them to commend them, at least at times. But for political considerations, so many Bible-believing churches have given over the idea of justice for the weak and the oppressed of this world to the liberals. We don't touch that. And why not? Why not? God says in the mercy, or in the very words of His Son, that judgment, justice for men of every country, every class, every color, and every creed, especially for the weak, especially for the downtrodden, especially for those who are vulnerable. That is our duty. Justice. Have mercy. Even for the needy. And even for the guilty. Mercy for those who don't deserve it. Mercy. Now you'll see how the Lord is talking to His people here. This is what the law of God inculcates into the people of God, that they will be a just people, that they will be a merciful people, a people marked by loving kindness, a people who will treat others as their Savior has treated them. The third great duty is faith. Faith in God and in His Son. Faith in His Word to guide us in the exercise of both justice and mercy. In other words, and this is where the liberals have all gone so far wrong, in your exercise of justice, in your exercise of mercy, tie it all in to the heart of the gospel. Never let it lead you away from the cross of Christ. Faith in Scripture always is Christ-centered. It is always cross-centered. Therefore, the law of God would tell us justice and mercy and faith are our great duties as we live in this world. So we must not fail to pay attention to these weightier matters of the law. In other words, what the Savior is saying, and this is very true in the context of Matthew 23, it's very easy for you to read the Ten Commandments and say, well, I haven't bowed down to an idol, I haven't made a graven image, I don't curse and swear by the name of God, I try to keep the Sabbath day, I try to honor my parents, I am not a murderer, I am not an adulterer, I am not a thief, I am not covetous, I am not a liar, and therefore, how good a person I am. But the Lord says, remember, get beyond the surface. Get beyond the surface. And remember, if you know the law of God, God commands you to justice and mercy and faith.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.